tested or tempted? Have you ever been tested? Now, I wouldn't expect anybody to say no. Mentally, morally, spiritually, physically, socially. For example, you're late for an appointment, especially those who drive. Time is not on your side. And what happens? The wee voice says to us, put your foot in the pedal and hope you're not caught. No blue light flashes. Speed cameras are not working. Police are having their tea break. And it's easy to feel all of these emotions going through our minds and our lives. However, the truth of the matter is, God knows. He won't give us a parking ticket, a speeding ticket, but he knows. Or take, for example, the man who was late for his flight on a plane, and he phoned the airport, the airline company, and said, there's a bomb on the plane. So they held it up for 90 minutes till he got there and then got arrested on his way back. Each one of us have at some times in our life been tempted and tried and tested to do that which we know is not right. And as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare with the enemy. Now, as we thought about the church, when people in the church begin to get in touch with God and start doing the things he wants us to do, the enemy will strike. He doesn't want you that place. He'd rather have you complacent, mediocre, than on fire for God. Would you agree? Good. And it's easy for somebody to say, it's all right, I can cope. But can you cope? I can handle this situation or that situation. Don't worry about me. But the truth of the matter is, all too often, we can't cope. I remember about 30 years ago, I can't remember that far back, going through to Cope Bridge and taking Andrew with me, my son, past the airport, almost onto what's the motorway, and he suddenly said to me, Dad, let's pray, but don't close your eyes. A good warning for me, eh? Don't close your eyes. A timely reminder that we are to watch and pray. To keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who prowls around like a roaring lion. And we are all faced with that immense situation where the enemy wants to strike and want to detract and deviate from what you know God wants you to do so that you're not doing it. We need to be ready for potential battles at all times. because we don't know when or where the enemy is going to strike. You've found that out, haven't you? In your Christian walk, suddenly something happens. You don't know what it is, but on thinking about it, it's the evil one trying to distract your attention from where you want to go or where God wants you to go. And we're all subject to various types of or kinds of spiritual attacks at different times, in different ways, and with different results. You know, God doesn't desire his children to live in delusion, illusion, or confusion. He desires us to keep our eyes fixed on him at all times in order that we will not be pulled away from our faith. However, it's what the enemy wants every time. Every time you get out of your bed in the morning, the enemy has got a strategy for you and for me to take us off track and to cause us not to fulfill our obligation to God by following him implicitly. That's his mandate, to stop you from becoming a good Christian, a holy Christian, a lively Christian, a Christian filled with God's Spirit, who will enable you to do all that God wants you to do. Our life, our Christian life, is a life of warfare. We often struggle with the calamities, the common calamities of every day. We struggle with opposition from the powers of darkness. Nehemiah is a good book to read, because in that book you see one occasion that Nehemiah was faced with the opposition from within and from without. And the enemy will use any tactic he can to draw your attention away from God. He's subtle. He's manipulative. He's not going to stop at anything to get your attention off God. The best defense is a good offense. An adage known as the strategic offensive principle of war. And let's never forget, it's the stronghold or the strategy of our enemy to maim, destroy, and take out the Christian man and woman from their relationship with Christ. That's his desire. He likes nothing better when a church is beginning to have that joined up principle of serving him, serving God, to try and take your mind and your focus away from God. It's not that God has lost his power, it's the church that has lost its focus. And the enemy will do everything possible to destroy that focus being taken away. You'll notice that when Jesus was being tempted, when Satan took him up into a mountain and showed him all these things, tempted him in three ways, Jesus said, "It is written." He wasn't going to let Satan get off with his attack. He knew God's word. He believed God's word. He trusted God's word. And he said, "It is written, you shall not." And what a good strategy that is for us, to learn God's word, that when the enemy comes and tries to deceive and take our mind off the things of God, we can say to him, "It is written. It is written." I remember being at a faith mission valedictory service once, and the principal then spoke about how important it was for his students to learn God's word. Why? Because as they learned God's word, God would bring back to their memory those things they had learned at the right time, and they were able to speak against Satan. Oh, that we would learn that, to know that word, to believe that word, to love that word, and to live that word, that we too may be able to say to the enemy, our enemy, "It is written." You can't confuse me. God said it. I believe it. And it's true. And whether that was when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, when he took him up a hill, whether it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Satan again tried to stop him from going to the cross, where it was when he met people, the woman in adultery, for example, when he brought this woman and put her in front of Jesus and said, "What do you say?" At the end of that scenario, he said to that woman, "Where are your accusers? They've all left. Who has condemned you? No one. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And we have to depend upon the authority of God's word. We have to depend upon the power of God's word. We have to depend upon the validity of God's word. And we have to depend on what we have learned from God's word to speak against the enemy. So, as a Christian soldier, you might not be in uniform like the Salvation Army, but as a Christian soldier, facing the battles of life day by day, it's incumbent upon us to be spiritually dressed and ready for battle when it comes to facing the enemy. Paul doesn't write these words just to fill up some pages. There's a purpose behind him writing what he does at the end of Ephesians. You remember just a few pages before, a few chapters before, where Paul says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." United together in Christ, a body fit together, every part playing its part, doing its duty, becoming a lovely jigsaw, a picture that the world can see and the world will be attracted to because of our allegiance to Christ and his allegiance to us. Charles Stanley, in his book, When the Enemy Strikes, states the Old Testament has many references to the breath of God. From the opening lines of Genesis onwards, God's breath breathes into us is always pure. It provides life and energy. And we cannot live a successful Christian life without daily taking into our lives the breath of God's Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us as orphans. He sends his Spirit that we may be empowered and enriched and used to his glory. Paul, in his writings to the Ephesians, outlines the mark and duty of the Christian. Verse 10, to be stout-hearted. Be strong in the Lord, because our spiritual strength and courage come only from him. We can try to live the Christian life on our own, but we fail miserably. We can try to live the Christian life with God, and we succeed, because his is the power, his is the blueprint for our lives. And so he calls us to be strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And we need to ask that God may indeed take from us those weaknesses and fill us with all the power of his Spirit. We need to be well armed. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. What does that mean? Other than nothing should be exposed to the enemy. Having girded your waist, put on the breastplate, and having shod your feet. The Roman soldier never took these off, even during a period of lull. Nothing was to be exposed to the enemy. The breastplate of salvation covered the heart, covered the abdomen, covered the feet, all necessary to go into war against the enemy. It would do as well to simply, each morning when we rise, to say this: today, Lord, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my spiritual boots. I'm putting on the shield of faith. I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. God has given us all those things for our benefit, for our protection, for our good, to enable us to fight against the enemy. And all of that, says Paul, do it with prayer. We have not to put these things on haphazardly, on a whim, but we are to do it prayerfully, to ask God's protection against the enemy who comes at us like a roaring lion. And you've found that, I'm sure, in your life, that Satan tries to take your mindset away from God's plans and God's work. The story is told about a prayer meeting in the USSR. The secret police arrived and threatened the 20, 30 or 40 Christians with arrest unless they denied their faith. Tell us that you don't believe in this God and you can walk out of here freely. Slowly, sheepishly, some denied they were true believers and left. Only a handful of Christians remained. The pastor of that church turned to them, rubbing his hands enthusiastically, and said, "Now we can get on with the real business of this prayer meeting." Those who were there wanted to show their allegiance to Christ. And why have you to be armed? We need to realize the danger that we face. We wrestle, we struggle, verse 12, not against flesh and blood, but the powers of this dark world. And there are hundreds of ways of doing this. Satan will discourage us. He will cause confusion. He will distract us. He will postpone things we should be doing that he may have his way. And we wrestle. It is a struggle that we face. Nobody can deny it. I found it. I'm sure you've found it too. When you've been going to do God's work and suddenly this comes up or that comes up to distract your attention. And he is a powerful enemy. He is devious. He is subtle. He's spurious. And we have to be equal to the attack. Not to be taken aware, unaware, and certainly not to be put off our prayer life. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean you've always got to close your eyes? I don't recommend it if you're driving. Does it mean we can only do it when we want to do it, when we feel like doing it? We can do it anywhere. Talk to Jesus. Let him know we're thinking about him. Presenting to him our requests and knowing he will answer in his time, in his way, with his purpose. Don't be taken unaware or be falsely pulled into the situation you don't need to pray. Wait till tomorrow. That's one of the strategies that Satan will use by telling us tomorrow will do. Nowhere in God's word do I find, I'm willing to be corrected, do we find God saying to us or Jesus giving us this affirmation, wait until tomorrow. It will be okay, child. Just wait for a few more days, a few more hours, and then the whole issue of wanting to pray goes over our heads. We forget about it. Because that is when we are caught unaware of the attack of the enemy. Our calling, our duty in the midst of these attacks is to withstand. Verse 13. To withstand everything the enemy would throw at us. We need to be equal to the attack. And we have a Savior who is far superior than any enemy, and who can enable us to withstand the full force of what the enemy wants to bring to us. To resist, to stand our ground, and to stand armed. God equips us. Paul didn't use those words because he had nothing else to say, to fill up some pages, some lines in chapter 6, as we have it. The purpose behind that, he knew we would need it. As a church grows together, is united together, is bound together, so the enemy will inevitably attack and try to put us off doing what God wants us to do. We have to stand our ground, be firm and resolute. There's an old chorus I used to sing in a Christian endeavor. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee away. Get thee behind me, Satan. I want to learn to pray. I want to be a Christian soldier. I want to be one today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. But now. And just as now is the day of salvation, so now is the day when we stand against the enemy. Then, when the evil day comes, as it surely will, you'll be able to resist the enemy, the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. I want to be able to do that. I need to develop the strategy that God gives us in his word through Paul. I hope you will too. Let's not be defeated or live as a Christian defeatist, but live the victory life in him. He's given to us this strategy. He's given to us these tools. He's asking us to follow him in all his imitable excellencies. God bless you. As you go from here into this week that lies ahead, and all you have to face, you don't know what the enemy will bring to your life, to your mind, but be equal to the task and get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee away. I don't want anything to do with you today. So get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee away. I want to be a Christian soldier. I want to learn to pray. Pray without ceasing. You don't have to close your eyes. He hears every day, everything we say. When we're walking, we're drying the dishes, we're driving, he listens and he responds. Maybe there are some here this evening who've been going through difficult times recently. Maybe health, maybe work, I don't know. And maybe you want somebody to pray for you tonight, to help you through these difficulties, to reassure you that God is on your side, that God will never let you down. I am with you always. It was Graham Brown that said a few weeks ago, God doesn't take a holiday. And that's so true. We never think about that. Packs his case and goes somewhere. No. He's always with us. And we rejoice in that. And he's always ready. So if you want prayer tonight, please come and speak to us at the end of the service, and we're more than delighted to pray with you and pray for you in those situations that you might be facing, or even if you think you're going to be facing something next week. We can get it in the bud, nip it in the bud tonight with our God. Okay? Father, just bless this congregation. We all have struggles. We all have problems. We sometimes let ourselves down and let you down. But you've given to us the tools and the strategy and the greatest tool of all, prayer. I just ask that each person in this congregation will not be succumbed to the temptation, but will in every day, in all situations, stand firm and be able to withstand the enemy's attacks. I pray that in your name. Amen.